Well, we're, as you can see, we're doing something different this time. We're meeting here in the Caraga Hotel. And as I believe, brother, this is where we started. I remember some of you brothers were here at those first meetings. Amen. And I remember the day you came up and said you were ready to interpret for us. Amen. Let us pray before we begin. Lord, I'm ready to give my heart to you, myself, my soul, my tongue. All that we have to share, Lord, every wisdom comes from you. So we're asking that you be in control and be in charge. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to... I've been studying some things in the Word of God recently concerning the golden altar in particular. And I'm able to go a little deeper and deeper into the things that God is trying to say to us in these days. One of the reasons that got me into this you could say, well, Brother Mark, aren't you just hung up on some ancient thing that passed away years and years ago, doesn't exist anymore? There's no more golden altar. The Jewish people lost that thousands of years ago. In fact, you could say that about all tabernacle teaching, that, well, Brother Mark, it passed away, it's gone. What do we care about that today? So what got me interested is, actually, I've been studying in Revelation. And in particular, something in Revelation, the sixth chapter, was the first thing that caught my attention. And I find that the, for instance, the golden altar has not passed away as far as God is concerned. Because you understand that this is a pattern, what Moses made was a pattern of spiritual things. And you understand that we are spirit beings who are living in a natural physical body. And the physical part of us is passing away. Now, if you're still in your 20s, you probably have a hard time understanding that because you don't think anything's passing away. But I'm very aware at my point in time is that things are passing away. So let me read this verse in 6th chapter of Revelation, just a couple verses. We're not going to talk about it now. It's the fifth seal, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, that's the golden altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried. Yeah. Did you read the whole verse? Okay, yeah, go ahead, Lito.
Og sa diha nga siya nakapoy na sa kalima nga silyo, ako nakita ilalong sa larat nga mga kalak nila nga mamatay tungod sa pulong sa Dios o tungod sa pagpamatuod nga ilang itutan.
And they cried, verse 10, they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
Og sila misigit uban sa mga kusog na tingo, maragayon, Unsa kadugay o Ginoo, balaan o tinuod, nga dili nimo hukman o ipalmalos ang among dugo ila kanila nga nagpuyo sa yuta.
And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, when I understand that this is a picture in the heavenly realm, in other words, it's a picture of a spiritual place, and in this spiritual realm, there is a cry coming before God, coming from the golden altar. So I want to know, Lord, what is this and what does this mean? We can see clearly that one of the things it means is that there are to be more martyrs yet. And when the time of martyrs is finished, amen. But the Lord is saying it is not finished yet. So I want to go to the origin of this golden altar. I want to understand what was its purpose, what was the spiritual purpose. What did God want it used for? So we'll come back to Revelation much later, probably not even today, another day. But I want to go to Exodus, the 30th chapter. And in this 30th chapter of Exodus, God is giving the instruction to Moses for the tabernacle and the furniture that is to be in the tabernacle. So let me read these first 10 verses. And maybe Lito wants to come over and read it then after I read a verse from And it says, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of shittim wood shalt thou make it."
Verse 1.
So the first thing we see is its purpose is stated, first of all, is to burn incense upon. The second thing we see is that it is basically, its foundation material is to be of wood. Now, we understand that wood is humanity. And when we understand the location of this golden altar, we understand that it was placed just before the veil to the Holy of Holies. Let me make some drawings on the whiteboard here so that we can follow along as I'm reading this then. All right, so here is the tabernacle. The outer court. And it has its furnishings. Brazen altar, brazen laver. The tabernacle itself. And the veil here that separates the Holy of Holies. From the holy place. I think I'm going to have to use a darker color here. So in the holy place, we have the table of showbread. We have the lampstand, and we have the golden altar. And the Ark of the Covenant, covered by the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. So you understand the location. Okay, let's read the next verse. It says, "A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. So go ahead. I don't know if I'm a very good engineer here. Three-dimensional drawing. Okay. So it's a cubit. This is 1 cubit by 1 cubit, okay? And this height is 2 cubits.
Yeah, say babaw na ang supodin ha na usaw to nga sa kubiko niya sa ka. Ang pikas po di sakto nga. Unya ka nang ikatulo o ka nang sa bahin po nga sa luyo ang tulo ka mga maniko.
So, 1 cubit, do you use feet and inches, or do you use meters?
Inches.
You do use meters. Okay. So, 1 cubit is about 1/2 meter.
Ang usaka maniko, tungon ang usaka metro.
2 cubits is almost 1 full meter in height.
Ang duha ka maniko, kung mo tanaw din na buabot na rito sa upat ka, kanang upat ka din o upat ka, diyan mo nag-duplis siya, kanyang mo lang upat.
So it would look a shape and everything in size approximately about the size of this podium here.
Kung mo tanaw din na susama din ni, ininyang bahay.
All right. In other words, it's not real big. It's small. It's small enough that a priest could pick it up. All right. And number verse 3 then, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about.
Verse 3.
So there was to be, boy, this one's dead. Are they yours?
Yeah.
So there was to be a crown. Oh, that one's dead too. Wonder how black will work out. A crown. Here we go. Yes, a crown, and that's not a very good crown.
Yes,
a crown round about the edge. And verse 4, it says, and 2 golden rings shall thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof, upon the 2 sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for the places for the staves to bear it withal. So there was to be a gold ring here and a gold ring on this corner.
Ang kilid niya na siya ay liit na di utak niya para sa ilang tusukanan.
And then read the next verse. It says that there were to be staves that went through the ring.
O ang ikalima na versikulo, imo na makita niya ang natuna na yung kahuli na isulukog na sa ilang ibutang alinin para na ilang layungan.
And these staves then were for 4 Levites would each take a corner of this stave, and they would carry it when it was to be moved. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil, that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. Now, we have the altar, we have the construction, we have the size, we have wood overlaid with gold. Now, we understand we also have the purpose. The purpose is to burn incense before the Lord. And the burning of incense, as we have seen in Revelation, also includes the meaning of prayers that are coming up before the Lord. But the burning of incense isn't just a prayer before the Lord. It is also an offering of the soul before the Lord. Now, since we understand, and we will read further, how that this on the Day of Atonement is to be carried in to the most holy place only one time a year. Before, shall we say, before the very throne of God. So you cannot just carry a piece of wood, humanity, before the awesome presence of God. The ancient Hebrews had a great fear about coming into the very presence of God, lest they would die. Even Samson's father, when he had met the angel, he feared that he might have seen God, and he marveled that he was still alive. So the problem is, God wants us to bring us into His presence, and yet we have a problem with our humanity. I remember a time, it must have been about 25 years ago, that I was in prayer before the Lord. It was a Sunday afternoon after we had had a worship gathering together with the brethren. And And I knew that the Lord had something to say, and that He hadn't finished with whatever He wanted to say to us. And as I began to pray, I sensed that the presence of the Lord was beginning to draw near. And I remember crying out to the Lord and saying, "Oh Lord, what great trouble I am in." I want you to draw near to me, but if you draw near, I am unworthy and you'll destroy me. What can you do? And he sent something that covered his glory, and then he was able to draw near to me and say to me the things he needed to say. So the wood has to be covered with gold, and gold is the nature of God. So the nature of God is able to come before the presence of God, and it will not be destroyed. That means that if we expect to come to a time where we can come before the awesome presence of God, something is going to have to be changed in me so that I will have something of the nature of God. Amen.
Amen.
So, let us begin here with verse 7. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations.
O siya mutang sa mga tukod, kanto sa mga siksin na liyan sa mga pilin sa aran, aron sa pagpas, aron sa pagpasaan, ginamit din eh, siya mihimo sa laran ng daw, how ang ginamit ang mga tabla.
So, we see that there was, in the holy place, there was to be a ministration to the golden lampstand by the priest in the morning and in the evening. Now I just want to ask a question. You don't need to be embarrassed if you haven't done it, but I passed some books out here a couple years ago. The name of the cover of the book was Choose the House. How many of you have read that book? You still have the book?
You gave us two, then most of them.
Okay, are they in your library where you can read them?
Yeah.
Okay, In particular, the last chapter of the book was relating to the lampstand, the ministration at the lampstand. If you want an understanding of what's really going on at the lampstand, in particular, spiritually, in this hour, you should get a hold of the book and read, in particular, that last chapter.
Para masasabi mo kayo sa ambog, pasabog nini, nan mo, ato kita sa itong libro, pagkanto mo lagi sa library lagi, ato mo magbasa mo, para kayo masasabi mo sa ambog, pasabog nini.
The chapter is called The Lamps Have Gone Out.
Ang nan ito na, ang naunga, suga nan, nawag na naunga na.
So it was a dream that the Lord gave me, and I believe it was a dream. The Lord was showing me the condition of the Holy Place Church. Alright, so the question is then, where does the fire come from to light the lamps, and where does the fire come from to burn the incense at the golden altar?
Ang akong pagkutana nini nga ano na may pagsunog dito, ano na may pagsindi sa mga suga, na ang pagkutana, disaman sila o isindi niya itong suga.
Because God is saying that He wants this first of all, when you go and read about the lamps were to be burning perpetually.
Katong suga, ano na dito, ipahimuta ang suga dito sa malaga na dito.
Okay, in other words, they were to continue to burn forever. Which means that they needed a continual revival of human intervention in the business of the golden altar and the golden lampstand.
Bote pasabot din nga pamensahe nga ang iyahang presensya o ang iyahang guru ako diha sa matapos ka nato kinahanglan dili gayud siya mo hunong tuwi mao man kini ang ipasabot din.
Now when the tabernacle was finished, everything was in its place. The sacrifice was all set here at the brazen altar in the outer court.
Sa diha nga naumana ang mao nga tabernakulo, tulga, napahiluna na ang tanan, diha na dai magsugod sila sa ilahang pa, halag na to sino, kunya napahiluna ka na sa amangan sa mao nga tulga.
God sent a fire and lit the fire.
O niya, ibutawa nila dito ang kanilo ang ilang ihalan, dili sila magsinig ko dili, at yun ay kalayo magigang sa Diyos, o niya diha ay magsugod ang
Now, in the history of God's people, by the time we come to Solomon, the fire had gone out.
Sa kasaysayan, gikan pa niya itong mga panahon na padulong dito kang Solomon, wala na yun magsiga, ininapita.
So, when Solomon built the temple, the Lord lit the fire again.
Mauna nga sa diha na ang Diyos ay sumong at kung sumong sa paghilo sa mga tunda o templo, ang Diyos misukod na buday siya sa pagsindi.
Now we're talking about the temple, are we not? Tabernacle, temple, it means the same thing, doesn't it? What does temple mean spiritually?
What is
stone building?
Not made
with hands, but it means, well, first of all, it means the dwelling place of God. And the dwelling place of God is the people of God. The corporate people of God and me as an individual before God. New Testament, Paul said, "What know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" So the first was the tabernacle of Moses, and God lit that fire. The second was the temple of Solomon, and God lit the fire again. Now, at the time of Jesus, the fire had gone out again. Well, Brother Mark, they were still offering sacrifice, weren't they? Yes, but the fire had gone out. It was not the fire that God had lit. I can show you several places in the Old Testament after Solomon that they did not have the fire of God anymore. So, at the time of Jesus, the fire had gone out. Is he going to light the fire in the temple again? Is he going to do it a third time? Come on, help me. Yes? How? What'd you say? Oh, but there was a particular time that he's going to light that fire. It was after the resurrection. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem. And there were 120 of them gathered together in the upper room. And he lit the fire. And there were like tongues of fire upon their heads. So the third fire was the fire of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now you have to understand that if there is no fire here, then you do not have holy fire. We are living in the day when the fire has gone out again in the outer court. In fact, if my dream is right, we're living in the day when the fire has gone out in the holy place. But I won't go into that now. Alright, so Aaron is to minister to the altar of incense. He's to burn incense morning and evening. There's to be, shall we say, prayers before God morning and evening. There's to be an offering of the soul morning and evening. You offer yourself before the Lord continually. Amen. Now, verse 9. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon.
Verse 9. Pagkubang sa ugatan ng mga binitay na binitay sa walang hihimo sa manipis malinong sinalapit usang katos kamaniko.
And verse 10, and Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of a sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Chapter 30 still. Exodus chapter 30. I thought I said that, didn't I?
38. You said 38.
Oh my goodness. How could I have said that? Chapter 30, of course, yes. The first 10 verses, chapter 30. Lito, have you been reading from chapter 30? You didn't notice that he wasn't reading what I was saying?
Oh, it is similar there. Yeah, but we could notice that.
Because we have a different translation.
I'm sorry. All right, so did you read chapter verse 10 of chapter
30? Pagkabon sa lakanan ni sa tiyatibukan yung iyong mga kaliwatan kini pinakawalaan ng Diyos nito.
Okay, so we see that Aaron, there was a particular purpose of this golden altar. First of all, on a daily, twice a day basis.
Mauna nga, sa pagbasa karon, ang bulato ni Aaron ng
And then there was a purpose for it once a year. And you see that there are horns on the four corners of the golden altar. Now, what do these horns mean? Force, compulsion. You see, we have horns in the brazen altar. And it speaks of God bringing us in kind of forcefully.
Ang
Man is not always very willing to submit to the Lord. The bull that is brought in out here, he smells the death. He fights. But his flesh is given. If you can think of your experience in your life, perhaps up to this point, you can understand how your flesh has not wanted to yield to the Spirit of God. Our carnal appetites are very strong. Do you understand? They drive us very hard. It is with much travail that we learn to overcome these things. We fall, we repent, we come back. But this flesh cannot rule over me. I will not be a carnal Christian. I will be a spiritual man. I will be a son of God. Amen. Now, there's still, it might surprise you that there are still horns when we come to this point here where we must sacrifice something else. Amen. The offering of the soul is something a little bit different. The offering of the soul is what takes place here. And the soul is what we think of as myself. You know, if God were to deliver you of all the spirits that have bound your soul in one day, you might wake up the next morning and you would not know who you were. How many of you know you need deliverance? I didn't see everybody raise their hands. Amen. So what is it that we need to offer to God of my self nature? Here's my soul. Okay. And what do we have up here at the head of my soul? Is my mind. Amen. And here we have what used to be the bull, which is my will.
Ubos ka ba kayo? Siguro yung kanya ito ka po pagkulutuan.
Amen? And what do we have here? Emotions.
Ang ato ang pagbati. Ano? Pagbati.
How many of you know we need to get our emotions under control? Sometimes we try to judge the Spirit of God by what it does to my emotions. Oh, we had a good time. It was God. You know those churches that are out there playing rock music? They're having a good time too. It's not God. Amen. Now, God's not saying He wants your emotions to die. He wants them to be under submission to the Holy Spirit. You know that God has emotions? Oh, yes. He gets very angry. He gets angry at sin. He rejoices. He's happy when we come to Him. See, we need to become mature sons of God. These little babies, not just your baby, these little babies have a very strong will. Baby. No. No. His will, his emotions. Amen. What am I missing up here? Oh, my desires. You know, if you really want to see a picture of immaturity, just look at the little baby, the two-year-old. He desires what you have. He wants it. He wants it now. If he doesn't get it, he's gonna. Not sons of God, is it? Not mature. Okay, now we have time to look a little further into this. Let me look at, now you remember where it said in the 30th chapter that Aaron shall, he shall not burn strange incense thereon. And he is not to bring strange fire. So let's turn to the book of Leviticus. And let us see a little bit more here from the 16th chapter. Leviticus 16. 1:6.
Versículo
16. All right.
This is size.
16, verse 12.
Versículo 12. This is Isaiah, Drusus, and Leviticus.
Okay. Now, it says, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Now, what is a censer? What is a censer? Can you describe a censer? Let me try to draw a picture of a censer. Have any of you ever been in the Catholic Church? The priest has these things. You think that priest has anything to do with the golden altar?
No.
All right. What he's telling you is that there was another instrument used. This was a golden instrument. I'm sorry, I'm not a good drawer here. It was a little golden cup, and it had probably some golden chains attached to it. So, and you would put the hot coals from the altar. Remember, you are not burning any meat offering or drink offering or anything of the sort. You're not burning anything here of that kind of offering. So the burning coals go into the little censer. They have little tongs that they put them in. And he carries the fire over here, puts it on here. And he opens the curtain to the veil, and then he puts the sweet incense on the fire of the golden altar. And the next verse says, and he shall put the incense, verse 13, upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. So you see, when the cloud of incense went up into the Holy of Holies and covered the mercy seat, then the priest knew that the presence of God was going to be there and that he wasn't going to die.
Oh, sa dihanga, maghanga sila o magutang sila niya to, mo ako tayo ang kanang aso mo kuya na sa tibok nila ang himo dito sa maong tabernakulo na ang pari makahibalo na tayo na diri siya mamatay ang Diyos at kusito sa Diyos na alaya na siya diri siya mamatay.
Now, we remember that he also had to take blood in. There was blood involved in all of this.
Ang matapos sa nilang kahalalan, ato lang, ngayon lumang karoon ay na, ang matanghalat, ayun lang yung siya ay ibutabi ang lumo.
First of all, he put blood on the horns of the golden altar.
Sa ilahang paghihipo nini, ang dugo, ila yung ipahit dito sa matagsumay nini.
And the 14th verse says here in chapter 16 of Leviticus, and he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times.
Bayron sa silangan o sa tuban ng sa likuran sa kalupay siya pisipisip sa lugo pinagi siya ng kudlo pito kay gayon.
Now, the verse that we read back in Exodus, what was the purpose of the blood on the horns of the golden altar? What did that do?
Balik dito sa Exodo, unsa man ang katuyuan sa dugo na ibutang ipahay dito sa sungay.
Do you remember what was the purpose? Did I hear somebody say? It was for blood of atonement. Okay, somebody's going to have to tell me what the meaning of this word atonement is. You got your little Bible thing out there, George? Atonement for sin, but what does it actually mean? As I recall, it means the settlement of a debt that is owed. Am I right? It's been a while since I looked it up. We've got a Bible program here working. It's going to come up here in just a minute. Coming up. Go ahead, George.
To cover, to purge, of it, make an atonement, make reconciliation, cover over.
To cover or to make reconciliation. Okay. And why do we need to be reconciled? Reconcile means what? To be brought back together, does it not? Amen. All right, so the other place that he brings the blood then is he brings it into the most holy place and he puts the blood eastward on the mercy seat. Now, which side of the mercy seat would be eastward? What are the directions here? Which way is east here? Right, okay. This is why we always make the tabernacle facing this way, because this is the way we make maps today. East, west, north, south. Okay? Now, the other thing about the location here, and by the way, East has a meaning, a spiritual meaning. It's interesting that God has His Son rise from the East, isn't it? And when we're talking about the mind of God, East is generally seen as referring to the mind of God, the mind of the Lord. So in other words, the thing that Moses or that Aaron is doing here at the mercy seat, it's only on one place on the mercy seat. It isn't the whole mercy seat. It's kind of an incomplete offering. It's the blood of an animal. It is not the final blood of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say to Mary when she approached him in the garden after his resurrection? Do you remember what she said? He said, "Do not touch me. I have not yet, what? Ascended to the Father." So when the priest was prepared on this Day of Atonement, no man was to touch him. So we have to believe that Jesus went before the heavenly mercy seat, amen, and offered his blood upon the other side mercy seat and completely fulfilled the prophetic meaning of it. Because you see, afterward he said to Thomas, "Thomas, touch me. Put your hand." So we believe then he had already gone to the heavenly mercy seat and had offered his own blood. Now, let me go to Leviticus, we're still in the 16th chapter. I already referred you to verse 17 where it says, "No man shall be in the tabernacle when he goes to make atonement in the holy place." Okay? I already mentioned that. It's verse 17. All right, now, verse 29.
Versículo 29.
Okay, verse 29, it says, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or of a stranger that sojourn among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord.
Nga sa ikawpan kabulan, sa ikanapulo, kaadlaw sa bulan, kamo musakit sa inyong magalak, o kini magbuha kayo, bisan po na pinipusa sa inyong pagalingon ng nasod po, usa ka lang niyo na nagapuyo, na temporaryo, bihak ka ninyo. Kay nana kaadlaw, ang pari ng ipo, kung usak kapagkabot sa salaalan ka ninyo, aron sa pag-indlo ka ninyo, aron ka mo,
Okay, so he's saying here that there is to be a day of atonement where the priest goes in to the most holy place. It is to be the seventh month, tenth day. Now, what is the feast that the Jewish people were celebrating on the seventh month?
Unsa man na pista ang sa ulugon sa mga Hudiyo kaya ko sa primero bulan unsa to ang pista?
Come on, we need the students to answer. What was the feast? There were three feasts that every Jewish person had to honor every year. Tabernacles, but I was hoping the students would answer me. Okay. So we have tabernacles. Seventh month, tabernacles. Tenth day of atonement. Now, he said in this passage in Leviticus that this is to be something that is celebrated perpetually. Are we celebrating tabernacles perpetually?
Wala.
Well, we are not celebrating it in a natural way, are we? So let's back up from the seventh day to find something a little easier. What about Passover? When did Passover take place? In the what month? Did I hear someone say the first month? Okay. In the first month. First month. And they were to take a lamb. And they were to take a lamb on what day? What day? Come on, this isn't just Jewish history, brethren. You're scholars of the word. the 10th day, they were to take a lamb out of the herd. And they were to keep the lamb in their house. Tenth through the 14th day. And what were they to do in those 4 days? They were to examine this lamb for 4 days and love him, of course. And feel of him, and he has not one blemish on him. So, do you believe that Jesus was the Lamb of God? And how long did they examine him? 3.5 years, didn't they? And was he proclaimed to be free of any defect and there was no fault in him? It was the Gentile ruler, Pilate, that said, there's no fault in him. So he was the perfect Lamb of God. So his crucifixion was exactly perfectly on the day for Passover. Perfectly. So now let me ask the question. You didn't know if we're celebrating tabernacles yet, but are we celebrating Passover? Well, I don't sing Jewish songs. I don't break Jewish crackers. But I'm celebrating Passover because I have the life of the risen sacrifice, blood of Jesus Christ covering my sin, atoning for me. Do we have a little more time yet? Okay. All right, so I'm celebrating Passover by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm under the blood. The blood is over my door. The blood is on my side post. My mind, my works, my walk is under the blood. Well, what was the next feast? What came 50 days later? No, Jubilee only came once every 50 years. What came 50 days after Passover? The word Pentecost means 50 days.
50.
And the Bible says in the book of Acts, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together in one accord in an upper room, and God lit the fire. So we have Passover here. We have Pentecost here where the baptisms take place. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is how I celebrate Pentecost. And these two happened exactly on the day that the Jewish feasts were celebrated. But we have yet one feast. And he said that this feast is to be carried out forever, perpetually. Do we celebrate tabernacles? What is the meaning of tabernacles? What does it mean? It means dwelling place. Let me read you from Revelation, I think it's the 20th chapter. Twenty-first chapter, Revelation, verse 2 and 3. It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Okay. Now, that has not yet happened, has it? The holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming down to earth. What's happening here?
Come
on, what's happening? Heaven is coming to earth. Heaven is coming to earth. And God is going to dwell with us. He's going to tabernacle with us. So where do you think you're going to go when you go to heaven? You didn't hear Bert this morning? It's not a natural place. It's a spiritual place. But let me talk about the timing of these things. This was perfect timing. This was perfect in God's time. Perfect timing. Absolutely. This was perfect timing. When it's all done, you're going to see something perfect timing. If you want my guess, this is not thus saith the Lord. If you want my guess on the day that Jesus was born, it was on the Day of Atonement in Tabernacles.
Sa imong tanawang binhaa sa pagkatawag ni Jesus Kristo, panahon ka ito siya sa panahon sa pagtapon sa sala dito sa pista sa pagsayo, dito siya natawag sa templo sa Diyos.
He wasn't born in December.
Kung wala pa siya matawag niya sa December.
He was probably born in September. And you know what? One day we're going to look at our calendar, we're going to look at God's calendar, and we're going to find that He came to tabernacle with us, and something about it is going to be perfect in the time of God.
Amen.
It changes a little bit each year. The Jewish calendar is not perfectly follow our 365 days.
Kaya ang ilang pizza dito, ang ilang kalendaryo, kada first of all, kada tuwing nagbalik-balik siya ang mga adlaw, more na ako din na punya, ako may walang sumala sa iya, hindi ko nag-iyang sulti ka niya na ito. Isa na mga puto niya ang panahon na ang Diyos mismo mo pakita sa iyahang kawalikon na kalendaryo o sa mga iyahang eksakto mga panahon diha sa iyong kinabuhi sa iyong kinabuhi.
In fact, the true Jewish calendar in the days of Moses, you did not know when the year was going to begin, because it all depended on Abib. And Abib means when the barley is at a certain place of being ripe, then the next new moon starts the calendar.
Ay, sa ilang hindi sa Hudiyo, ang ilang iba siya sa ilang kalendaryo, kung kanang adunan, tanong ito ang kung mo, kita mo ang kanang abi, no? Nga kung mamuswag na siya, unya, mamunga siya, unya, panahon niya na, na hindi ako rin sila magsugod o himo sa ilang kalendaryo. mo na di nila mahibalo ano ang isuro unsa na unsa pitsaha unsa ang tuig niya.
And you see, God spoke to Moses in Egypt, and he said, "This shall be the beginning of months for you." Now, well, I think I've gone quite over time here. Maybe you have any questions? Brethren, we've got a lot more to talk about this golden altar and these things. Do you want to keep going on this another day?
Yes.
Okay. We've barely scratched the surface. All right, well, God bless you.